Hello and welcome to episode 75 of Muse on Minis.
Musing and amusing.
This is Fat Asian and I play Protector of Menoth, Minions, and Convergence of Cirrus.
This is Keith and I play Broken Stuff.
This is Josh. I play Mercs.
Josh is drunk, so please excuse me.
I am buzzed is the correct nomenclature, sir.
This is Chad and I play Trolls and Vidya Games.
And this is Crump and I play Retribution, Circle, and Mercs. Before we start tonight's podcast, I found something hilarious on Amazon the other day. If you guys haven't seen the movie Sunshine, it's a...
Every time he explains something, it takes four times as long as it needs to. Right?
This is like a battle report of an...
Of a movie.
Of a movie.
This is a movie.
This is a battle report of a movie. Get ready. Boom.
Sunshine was a movie with Cillian Murphy in it.
Settle in. Skip 14 minutes ahead.
So the movie is the sun is going out. They send a team of scientists to go basically throw a nuke into the sun, just fly by and go like boop, and then the sun will magically restart.
So you think,
irrelevant. Movie's name is Sunshine. Read the quote.
All right. So the review on Amazon reads, because I was looking on Amazon to buy the movie the other day. So spoiler alert, the sun is going out and the people on the spaceship are going to restart it and save the Earth. They have a lot of challenges to overcome, like in any movie, and then they overcome them. But here's the thing about the movie that you won't believe. No one ever looks really serious and says, it's daylight saving time. Not one character. No one says, it's daylight saving time in the entire movie. I know you don't think it's possible, but if you watch it, you'll feel like you wasted 4 hours of your life. Time moves slower when you're waiting for someone to deliver an amazing line. What were those writers thinking?
Excellent.
It's daylight savings time.
I can see it. I can see The Rock delivering that line in my head right now.
He looks directly into the camera.
With a quirked eyebrow.
Absolutely. And a sword in his hand. Just cause. just cause.
On the spaceship. All right.
It's the nuclear missile launching sword.
Yes, it is. It is the key that he needs to put in to launch that nuclear missile.
It's like the two guys
missile.
Need to turn the keys simultaneously,
yes.
And then he also needs to like raise the sword in
yes,
the air.
Yes, absolutely he does.
It could also be like a more serious, like an Ian McKellen quote, where they just give him. It's like it's one of those movies where, like, why are you in this, Sir Ian? He's just delivering
it's
this awful
daylight
line.
Savings time.
It's daylight saving.
Every now and then, every now and then, you'll meet a special individual, and that individual will tell you it's daylight savings time.
All right,
year, actually,
twice a year. That happens.
This is now, I believe, episode 65. 65 of me is on
it's like 70-something.
75.
It's in the 70s. It's 100% in the 70s.
Because, yes.
It's 75.
75 of me is on
I cannot keep track of it. Like, it might be 76. This
I feel like episode. If we were professional at all, we would know exactly what episode it was.
Yeah, we need to put up a bulletin board in the professional sound studio that just has
we should
a
just,
giant number written on it.
We should just put, like, hashtags along this wall over here.
How many
for
days
each episode? Yeah, yeah. It's
a...
just it's like a prison, really. Is
yeah,
Muse on Minis.
Do
is like
that on
a
my freshly painted wall and see what my wife does.
Will
I'm
she,
interested.
Will she flip out?
Danger zone.
Danger zone.
I guess we'll find out.
Your wife loves me.
On the previous
because
episode,
we both rip on you.
Quiet, Colin. We talked about.
I was thinking that it's going to be like having two Crumps, having people interrupt.
Yeah. On the previous episode, we talked about the Journeyman Warcasters available on the Kickstarter. This episode, we're going to talk about the real Warcasters that are coming out on the Kickstarter. Commander Dalin Sturgises.
Four-point Vanguard.
Are we talking about the errata next time?
Four-point Vanguard.
We mentioned most of the relevant things last time. We can
most
talk
of
about
the relevant things.
Yeah, they came
Everyone
up. All right, there's
vanguards.
Been an errata.
We're doing the errata first?
Sure. Let's get it out of the way. It shouldn't take too long. There's been an errata. A couple little things of import.
Some things we knew were coming. The change to
Primal Magic.
Primal Magic on the Shaman.
Wait,
we knew
Primal
that was coming.
Magic?
It's the Shaman's Animus.
Yeah.
Cast another Animus.
Right. It's non-character now. And we knew that was coming because it was non-character on the Bloodseer. And they've just gone back and fixed the Cyclops Shaman.
Is there anything that the Cyclops Shaman was casting that this is going to dramatically... Like, I can't think of anything.
Fatewalker.
Fatewalkering.
Epic Hexeris was using the Shaman as an Arc Node.
Sure.
And then he could go up Arc and then Fatewalker back. And
okay, okay.
That's the most tech thing that is no longer
available.
It can't
bump now.
Yeah. Bump. No longer. Bump. And it also cannot cast Bump anymore.
Bump
that's,
is a character?
That's a pretty important
yeah,
it's
Scorn.
It's on Tiberian.
Oh, it's just Tiberian that has yeah. Bump? Yeah. Okay.
Well, the Bouncer.
And now no, whatever, I know the Bouncer does.
Whatever Despoilers Animus is will not be available either, which I think was some sort of lamentation type thingamajig.
Arcane Suppression, I believe.
It's the thing that the Big Shrimp has.
Yeah. Mini Lamentation.
Yes.
So.
Shut well, up, Drunky.
You guys, thanks, Colin.
You guys know so much about this game.
Anyway, moving on.
I'm all on board.
The other thing that came down the pipe that we knew was coming was the battle engine was errated. And it was more for clarification.
Yeah, it was a clarification because it was correct in
the they had multiple printings of the card.
Which battle engine?
The
Protector one.
Okay. The Vessel of Judgment.
Did it get worse or better?
It got worse in my eyes and better in Keith's. So
worse.
What happened?
Originally, the original card, I think, in timing-wise, you could stop Excarnate with Doors of Judgment. And then they actually happen on the same phase, which is disabled. Is that right?
Oh, so the Excarnate player actually gets to pick which order it goes in. Sure.
Right, so Excarnate will actually trigger. So
skadoosh.
Yeah. Anyway, I had an old version of the card.
Mm-hmm.
I did.
So mm-hmm. Effectively, actually, that... It's not just Excarnate. That'll affect Doors of Judgment on a bunch of different, like, remove from play effects, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, some of them.
Some of them. I mean, that's the most glaring.
Right, sure, but...
Yeah, RFP will, by and large, get around Doors of Judgment.
Yeah.
So that's nice. Of course, Epic Asphyxius was tweaked yet again. It's down to grunts now, so Tartarus can't come back. The Blood
We're talking
Hag.
About his feet.
Yeah. Mm.
Tartarus can't come back. The Blood Hag can't come back. And
Two Axes?
Mr. Two Axes cannot come back. Nor can the Standard Bearer.
So if
or
I'm
Pistol Wraiths.
Or Pistol
Chili.
Wraiths. Or Syndicate Raider Captains. Or
that's actually like a boat. That actually will make Chili play better, really, at the end of the day.
It would have actually made him kill my cast.
Yeah. Grissa would actually be dead.
Yeah.
Well,
except you wouldn't have had Tartarus.
Keith, if we were to take a very, like, objective view about this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the most objective view you can manage.
All right.
Would you rather this...
I'm neutral.
Would you rather have this nerf or an Excarnate nerf?
Oh, my God.
Probably this one.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah.
If we're being honest with ourselves.
John came up with a good point before the podcast where he feels like this nerf will not change top-level Lich play, but it'll mostly take out Scrub Lich players.
Yeah, I'll get some of the Scrubs out of my way.
So with less people playing, because a lot of the Scrub Lich players will probably, I apologize.
Scrub's not a good word.
Well,
it's a perfect
it is what it
word.
Is.
Less experienced. Less experienced.
It is what it is.
A.K.A. Scrub.
Look, it's TLC style, so and I don't want no Scrubs.
A lot of the baddie bad players.
Baddie bad. That's much better.
Just so you know, a Scrub is a guy who thinks he's fine. And is also known as a busta.
Indeed, he's also known as a busta. That's right. And he'll holler out the window.
A lot of the less experienced players...
Of his best friend's right, actually.
Okay. ...will be moving away from playing Lich at tournaments, which will actually shift the meta away from counter-Lich tech.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's bad because Keith is still going to be playing Lich, and we still need lots of people to...
No, I'm off of him.
So we actually need to buff Lich.
He's dead.
So then more people play him.
Let's not get ridiculous. I do believe that 100% that it's not going to affect really high-level Lich play, other than it can take Assassination off the table. So,
well, I mean, we asked Keith before we sat down, and it was like, how many times do you pop your feet in a tournament? And he said, like, what, one out of every four?
Roughly. Right.
So three out of your four games are not going to be affected by this at all. And then the other one, you're just going to have to play for a more attrition. Like, it focuses the feat into attrition style rather than
it also
giving
assassination.
Them... It also weakens its attrition.
It weakens it, but it's still incredible attrition.
How does it weaken his attrition?
You lose a little power.
You lose a couple of attacks.
No, you lose what?
You lose Blood Hag. You lose second activation of Tartarus for creating more Bane.
You work on saving those, particularly Tartarus and Blood Hag.
You can't argue that it doesn't weaken his attrition. It definitely
absolutely
does.
Yeah,
you can't bring back two axes, so you lose one attack.
Accuracy is down. Number of attacks are down. The ability to remove upkeeps is down.
Reliably getting ignoring tough.
I suppose that's true. I guess in my mind,
it's still
like his
powerful
his attrition, his feat used for attrition is like, we killed a bunch of your infantry and you killed a bunch of my infantry and now I kill all your heavies. Right.
Like that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Am I not right in front? I'm sorry.
That's
and
exactly,
now I call your heavy.
That's exactly what I'm saying, though, is that his feet is much more focused. It is undeniably weaker in attrition, but it's much more focused towards attrition now. Yeah. Whereas before, you could play it a variety of different ways. And the quintessential way was the caster kill. Like, that's what people... That's the way his feet has been nerfed repeatedly for.
Right, and then there's also things that will start creeping up, like Tenacity D'Angels, for example, are going to be no bueno.
Mm-hmm. Any high def.
Right.
Heavy.
Sure.
High def, period. Iron Flesh.
The whole Legion matchup became extremely unfortunate.
Well, it'll make the Lich player more conservative on their Tartarus play, right? Like, you're not as...
I wouldn't really say high def anything, though, because they still have Excarnate.
They do. They have
Excarnate doesn't
vial.
Kill the angels.
That's why I wouldn't say high def everything.
Right.
I would say high def heavies, which is what I said.
Circle and Legion becomes a little worse. At least against Circle, you can reasonably expect to protect Tartarus. There is no amount of conservatism that saves Tartarus from Ravagors.
Sure.
Yep.
So
the Legion matchup got significantly worse.
Significantly
for Lich.
Worse.
If only that's there was another caster you could play against Legion.
That's fine, though. Like I was saying on the forums, I don't think it's like... For one caster in the game to go from having almost no bad matchups at all to having some bad matchups, I don't think that that's unreasonable. Most casters in the game have some bad matchups.
It isn't. It's not unreasonable. My primary concerns are that there's now a couple factions, and I just need to spend some time thinking about it, but there are just a couple factions that are now significantly in the problem column for Crix in general that I didn't feel were there before just because Lich sort of covered it. It's like Legion. It's like, I could probably just power through with Lich.
I think PDNA's pretty good against Legion.
I don't think that I know that you're not making this case for pity me, woe is me, or whatever. I know you're not doing that, but, like, speaking as a Trollblood player who gets regularly stomped on by one faction, like, I don't.
Now there are three, though. Like, Protectorate is now in my problem column.
And Signar.
What's
the change with Protectorate?
Yeah, how does that feat change the Protectorate matchup?
Because I can't deliver the Blood Hag to the most common anti-Crix caster, which is Harbinger anymore. It's like, Rovan's in the list. Aha! They shoot me through the clouds and her stealth, and she's dead. And I don't get her back. And now Martyrdom is good, because Crix... I mean, I said I haven't thought about it yet, so there are other matches. This is just how I used Lich in the past to cover this matchup. It was just like, I'll get a full activation with the Blood Hag. I will get that aura all over those errands, and they will all disappear, and then we'll be playing a game. Now I have to figure out a way to get rid of those errands, because Crix does not have a plethora of ways to force Harbinger to back off on the Martyrdoms.
Bilethraw Purge?
Well, except for now... Because now you have that one guy with a Leviathan on him.
It's really hard to manufacture a Balthraw Purge through Martyrdom, I imagine.
Extremely. And
you don't need an Excarnate Purge. You just need a Purge. Those Errants are going to be there.
Errants murder Balthraws, like...
Not behind clouds, they don't. You just play different.
What about Helldivers? You were talking about Helldivers for a while with Lich.
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility, too. Engineering some more knockdowns. Also, a Rovan-sided Redeemer pushes all of the Balthraws right back to...
Or... Iacos, the Scourge of the Meridius.
That helps. I mean, there are options, but I think, I mean, it's undeniable that Asphyxius himself has been horrifically weakened in the Harbinger matchup.
Sure.
It's no longer even remotely favorable.
Do you think it's less uneven?
Yeah, it's very favorable to Harbinger now. Because as long as she's got screening models, she's immune to the assassination. As long as you can...
She actually had a great game versus Lich before the errata.
And now it's just gotten better. Okay. It was just the fact that the screening models wouldn't save her because the Blood Hag would come up and then, like, two Bane Knights would kill the two Errants or whatever that were blocking her and then
you'd shoot
the gap and kill her.
But it's the problem of you getting way down. Like, he wasn't using his feet to get ahead in that game, like, which is what he normally does.
Right.
He uses his feet to come back to even in that game because he usually loses... Most half or most of his army just getting.
Yeah, Herfy's just kicking the nuts on him.
Yeah,
sure.
Like, she gets to shoot him, and then she gets to shoot him again, and then she usually gets to shoot him again.
I mean, her feet's like kicking the nuts on.
So now for playing against Harbinger, I'm looking at P Scar. I'm looking at possibly Epic Scar. I'm looking at.
Are you thinking about P Scar popping feet defensively, or?
Possibly. I don't know. I mean, 30 Bane Knights is just. The errands don't do a lot to the Bane Knights.
Fair enough.
the Powhatan gunshots, Bane Knights are just like, if you want to trigger some vengeances on the way in, I guess that seems okay for us.
Sure, sure.
And then on the feet turn, they really don't do dick to Bane Knights.
Right, right.
Also, if I know anything about Errants, it's that they hate dark guidance
Satixus Raiders.
Satixus Raiders.
Yeah.
The Raiders just come in, they're like, martyr that, martyr that, martyr that. Horns, horns, horns. There's just like 20 attacks in there. They're just like, this is atrocious. Harbinger's like, I give up. Kill them. They're dead. Yeah. I don't care anymore.
She's like, well, you got minus two to hit. All right. Hit. Oh, I missed that one. Sorry.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's still options. But with the... I mean, he doesn't fix any of... I feel like he's now... kind of in a position where he's not really working to fix any of Crix's problem matchups. So he's not your go-to problem-solving caster anymore. So if you want to play him, you're playing him and then a solution-based caster, which is kind of, it's very different from how
the way most of the rest of the game plays.
You think that this nerf is that big an adjustment for him?
I'm not wrong.
I mean, he was never a big fix for the Signar matchup initially.
Sure, but he was sort of the... He was, right. In general, your guy that you're just like, I take this guy, and then if it's not P. Haley for all intents and purposes, then he fixes it. Like, that's...
Yeah.
You at least feel decent about the game, right?
Yep. Unless
and you feel like the you feel the change is significant enough that now you don't feel that comfortable about him anymore.
I need to play a couple games, but
I was going to say I think it just requires some more exploration and
some more adjustment. Absolutely. I'm just
I love it for my Gristle matchup. Oh man, I love it so much.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think it's unfair. I'm just pointing out what it is.
Sure,
sure,
sure.
This is what it is. He's no longer.
I'm not accusing you of whining. I just.
I am.
I think you're
like a rep player.
Personally, I mean, I'm not a Crix player. Like, I'm the opposite of, you know, I'm as far from it. So, Crix nerfs always make me happy, but I think this is a good nerf for the game.
I do. I still think he's the best caster in the game.
I think so too, personally.
Yep. Because he's the hardest to kill. So that's one.
He's impossible to kill if they want him to be impossible to kill.
He has incredible game against infantry with Excarnate Balthorow Perch. Sure, there's ways to work around it.
But oh, no. That's not changed.
Right.
So that
he still has that, and his feet is still an attrition monster against heavies for the most part. So some of those things have gotten a little weaker, but all of those things are still true about him.
Yeah, he still has an answer to almost every solution. It's like lots of infantry, got it. Lots of heavies, got it.
He just can't auto-assassinate a caster if he's way far behind.
No, so that...
That's never the game plan.
No, I understand.
But
for several Lich players, I feel like that has been the game plan, is I get behind and I can still assassinate their caster.
Yep.
Sure.
Right? And that's not the case anymore.
Yep. Feet win.
So
also, just the amount of work that you can get out of just Tartarus alone on his feet was so infuriating.
Right.
To me.
Now I think it's more likely that the feet will just go off as soon as it's ready to go. If Tartarus is still alive, he's like, got to get this out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than what I used to do, which was save it and save it and save it. It's going to change my game some, because my old game was always, I have the feet. Your caster can just sit in the back and do nothing for the entire game, or I'll kill you.
Yeah.
Or at least that was my threat, quote unquote. It wasn't really what I was going to do, but if you put your caster in a position where you force me to do it.
Some people were saying on the forums, and I don't disagree with this either, some casters, like any defense 16 or lower caster, you can still, like... You can still threaten them with it, because if you got 10 chances to roll a 9 or a 10.
Yeah, if they're not camping.
If they're not camping anything. Like, if you only need to hit them once or twice, you know, there's still a decent, well, like...
Yeah, and then I think, like I said, one Helldiver in the list enables a lot of,
right,
like, slam back it out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, it may be the case. My list is going to change some. Asphyxius's play style is going to change some. I think he's going to get a little bit... I'm going to get a little bit more aggressive where I think I can. Before I was just I've been playing him with a no risk mindset for a long time.
Yeah, because
like
you could
just take absolutely zero risks because there was no need to ever. He's like, Tartarus can get four Banes. We'll send him in because he'll get to go again later.
Yep.
If I need him, and it's just like you just sort of play, and then Asphyxius just kept himself like he'd look for one Excarnate Biothrall Purge, and that was it, and then he would sit in the back. For camping, usually, for the rest of the game.
Do you see different play then, obviously, with Tartarus and the Hag then?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the command bunker is going to be a common style, where it's just going to be Asphyxius sitting there with Hellbound up with clouds around him, and Tartarus and the Hag.
Right.
If I need the Hag. A lot of games you don't need her.
Sure, absolutely.
Or you'll be able to deliver her with Clouds earlier.
Anyway, I know we were going to talk about Sturgis, but I know that people really, really, really wanted to specifically hear your opinion about this. So I felt like it was good to talk about it.
I'm not sure it's the nerf that I would have recommended for him. I'm not sure it was the best way to go about changing him, but
did you have it is Hellbound or Excarnate?
It is a power reduction, possibly. I think his defensive measures were what needed or what should have been changed.
That's what Nate Hoffman's been saying for years.
And Andrew as well.
I kind of
was going to recommend.
Came upon like kind of an I was talking with Fox about Lich and kind of came on like a sort of an unconventional way of quote unquote fixing him. Because usually when I see play against the feet and have played the feet, it's the attrition. And you're just like, oh, I'm sort of behind on attrition. I'll pop my feet. Hey, look, now we're tied. And I have Epic Lich versus your stuff. And that guy sort of does too much work in melee with teleport.
The biggest problem with that playstyle was fixed when casters no longer contested zones.
Yeah, but I mean, like, still, that guy will, like, one round of heavy and then be fine.
If he's parasited it in an earlier round.
Right.
Otherwise, it means he's still only power 15.
Right.
Or if he's picked up a lot of souls in an earlier round.
I don't know, just casters with like an amazing spell list and that high of a power on their weapons.
Power 15?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the rest of us are like, man, I wish my caster had power 15 attacks. My.
Yeah, it's high.
I know yours
my
do.
My casters that
yours
do have
do.
I'm like, well, at least they're power 15.
Yeah, exactly.
It's high for casters, but it's not what it's not heavy killing. It's not like
no Sturgis. Let's be honest. It's no Sturgis.
It is against some factions.
It is my favorite thing ever when
like against Circle, he'll just like charge a soccer and spend like two focus and it'll just die.
It is my favorite thing ever when I charge Josh's caster, and he's like, okay, well, I'm armor 19, and I'm like, dice damage. And he's like, what?
Right.
So moving on. Other erratas. Houseguard Rifleman got fixed, thanks, Chris. It now is working as intended.
Houseguard Rifleman got fixed?
Yes. Yeah, so. Whites
because
of their eyes.
It used to be worded like, it was like a paragraph, and it had the word it in it. Approximately four times.
Like a Bill Clinton type of...
Yes, it was just extremely ambiguous, and Chris posted about it on the forums. Nice. Yes, brilliant.
Fantastic.
Chris posted about it on the forums, and then everyone's just like, what do you mean it's ambiguous? It's really obvious. And then he's just like, it has the word it in it four times.
Okay, so how does it work now?
It now works as intended. This activation models in this unit gain an additional diameter range attack rolls against models within 8 inches
of the attack
model. Nobody cares.
We talked about the Lich change, like that's all we're going to do. We talked about Terran last time.
Yeah. The other thing...
Apparently, suck at Rhett. I was interested, but no one else is. So,
actually, Rhett got really buffed. There's another thing we haven't talked about.
Is it in red?
Yes.
Okay.
They rewarded Virus's feat, Epic Virus's feat. It now rewards replace the first sentence of Tide of War with the following. When one or more friendly faction models are destroyed by an enemy attack while in Virus's control area, any time except while advancing, immediately after the attack is resolved, a friendly faction model in his control area can make a full advance.
Okay. What does the second sentence of that feat say? I'm betting it says a model may not be moved by this feat more than once.
And what did they change?
Probably just a rules clarification. That's like how it usually is. Because everyone has, every time the errata comes out, people are like, oh my god, sidestep is not immune to free strikes anymore. And then somebody else is like, no, read what it says.
The
second sentence says
that. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure nothing changed there. The other big change was, for no particularly apparent reason,
other than they want to sell Terran.
Other than
Rucker.
And Protectorate and Signar needed the buff, I guess.
Protectorate definitely did. I can see why they did this.
Shut up.
Terran.
If they wanted to sell Rutger, they shouldn't have released Gaston.
Terran De La Ravisi, her Shadow Fire special ammunition shot, now removes LOS for every model rather than just friendly faction ones.
So, congratulations, Signar.
Tremendously huge change.
Yes. Severius, you are no longer safe behind your silly Judicator. The Storm Wall will kill you.
Unless you
kill Haley first.
Yes.
Right.
It's pretty easy to kill Terran in a P-Sevy list, right?
It sort of makes Epic Sevy redundant awareness. Don't care.
It
no,
saves
because you
two
hide
points.
Your Terran behind your Colossal. And then when they shoot your Colossal with you, then you shoot their Terran.
Wait.
That's so confusing.
You hide your Terran behind your Colossal, then shoot your Colossal in the butt so she can see beyond it, then shoot theirs.
Basically, if you sit down on the table and you're like, Terran De La Ravisi, and they're like, haha, Terran De La Ravisi, you're like, Pistols at dawn, sir. You're just like, you deploy both Terran Daler ABCs in the middle of the table at max advanced deploy.
Who has Deadeye is the question.
Haley wins again.
No, who Deadeye has the most blast damage?
How does Deadeye not matter in a Terran versus Terran matchup?
Because you're just trying to shoot the things that are blocking line of sight to your caster.
But if you want to kill the other, yeah, it's Daler ABC versus Daler ABC matchup.
They're dueling it.
Straight up.
Oh.
Your Daler ABC is more like a hit. No, she's never stealthy.
She's just
stealthy
a gun mage.
She has dodge and tough if she's with Rutger. Otherwise, she's just straight 15, 12.
The Terran player who brought Rutger wins.
Mm. I now advocate the taking of Rutger Shaw.
You do not.
In all lists.
He's at 2.6 rat 6 hand cannon. He's legit.
If you could see Keith's
He's
face
a thing.
Right,
you don't have to bring a jack on him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a lot better options. There's a lot better options, but he's
I
not
know
bad.
We moved to Sturgis talk.
Yes,
indeed. That's all they changed. They changed it from when a friendly faction model. They made it specific, so it says one or more.
Okay.
That happens
all the time.
Yeah.
Why don't
it was a clarification?
Pumped up the volume on Shadowfire.
So there are two new casters. They are the same person. It's Commander Dallin Sturgis. They decided to epic him and change his faction in the same book.
Before we get into this, can I just say that this is a really cool concept?
I think it's super clever how they did
it. It's awesome. People have been asking them to do this actually forever.
Yeah,
I'm glad they finally did it.
And they did it without a cat. They did it on a caster that no one cares about initially, right? Like if they did it with Karchev, for example, like you'd have a bunch of Kador players who are like, I hate that Karchev went to Krix. No, they
would
do.
Would they really? They never
they would.
Play. They never
don't,
play.
But
Karchev.
They would still.
They don't want him.
They would still 100% bitch.
He's
but
saying
this way.
There are people in the world who are emotionally attached to Karchev.
To Karchev.
That's true.
But no one cares about Sturgis. No one.
I cared because in his first rendition, his head was on fire, and when he went up,
Karchev or Sturgis?
No, Sturgis.
Isn't
Look
there,
at the artwork.
Isn't
his
there
head an, is on fire?
Isn't there an argument to be made though that in a good narrative, like killing a character that zero emotional investment in is pointless and.
Yes.
Yes, if this was a literary masterpiece, but this is a war game.
I did say when I first read about him, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Wait, he's definitely going to be in the video game, and now the video game's spoiled for me.
Yep.
Thanks, Privateer.
Spoiler alert. Because
he's probably going to be like your...
No,
because he's Jake's mentor.
Jake's more mentor.
Spoiler alert, Obi-Wan dies.
Yeah, for the first half of the game, you're going to be like...
and becomes... a dark Jedi, because he is 100% a Jedi Knight.
The first time you fight Krix in War Machine Tactics, you're going to be like, this is it. This is when it's going to
happen. He's totally her father. That's happening.
He's 100% a Jedi Knight. There's
God.
No question about that.
No, she's going to be like, he's just going to be like, search your feelings. You know it to be true.
He is a Jedi Knight. He's basically...
Chain attack, whatever it is.
Yeah,
that is 100% just like Force Dash. Like, it just is.
It just has a blink dagger.
He's also Darth Maul, right?
Yeah, he's Commander
Darth Maul.
Commander Dallin Maul.
Yeah, Dallin Maul.
Like, how long before we see the mod where he has, like, two red lightsabers?
I actually expect it immediately upon release. I already assume it's coming.
It's probably already photoshopped on our forum.
100%. Yes. Somebody has made this already.
Kill yourself right now.
Unless it's Rinth, and then I love you. And post that quickly, please.
Please.
Oh, can I give a shout out to Pear, the guy that did the Chubby Eris?
That was amazing. Yeah. That was amazing.
I was sitting down to dinner with my girlfriend's parents, and I pulled up my phone for a fraction of a second and saw that picture and spit water.
I was in the restroom, and I myself. On top of already what I was doing.
Literally?
Literally.
Wow. Literally.
All right.
Yeah, that picture was amazing.
So, Commander Dallin Sturgis is the Signar Warcaster. His spell list is as follows. Nothing new here at all. Arcane Shield, Convection, Lightning Storm, Snipe, and Teleport.
Lightning Storm, Kruger, one
Kruger
has?
And, Halo, and Striker,
Kruger
two.
Kruger two.
And Striker
2. Oh, Striker has it. I didn't realize that.
Yep. So right away, pretty sure Convection is almost completely dead on that spell.
You never guess
that spell. It's a
magic
missile.
You never guess
pew, that spell. Pew, pew. Sometimes you gotta pew, pew.
Sometimes I will admit that Epic Denegra is, you know, giving it to you hard and you got a Convector. But other than that,
no,
it doesn't happen.
It's like a 5% spell. When it's good, it's good.
Right.
Sometimes you...
When you absolutely need it, no, it's there for you.
Yeah, you need to charge somebody to get him out of the zone. Like, you kill two guys with him, and then he convections somebody in the back corner of the zone so that you can score it. I mean, those situations.
Comes up, I agree. It's it's a 5%er.
So yeah, Arcane absolutely. Shield and Snipe is makes him a perfectly serviceable Signar caster. Teleport is only interesting insofar as the rest of his abilities make it so. So let's look at the rest of him.
Teleport actually allows him to play the game.
Yeah.
Because he is a melee caster that wants to be...
and makes him interesting.
That's what he's saying. Yeah. The rest of his abilities make the teleport.
So, the rest of the abilities.
It also lets him play without an arc node, which I appreciate. Mm-hmm. Teleport basically says, leave your arc nodes at home. His weapon loadout is a hand cannon and a double-bladed reach weapon. So he's got two power 13 attacks with reach.
Darth Maul's lightsaber.
Indeed. He is defense 16.
Can't keep it up.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
It's defense so good. 16, armor 15.
Hate us or
so really solid defensive stats. Mat 7, rat 5.
16, 15, you say?
16, 15, indeed.
He's got a lot of wounds, too. He has, like, 18 or something.
I believe he's an 18.
Yeah, 18 wounds as well. What I really appreciate about the weapon loadout is with just a vanilla hand cannon and nothing particularly special about it, doesn't need Reinhold. Signar loves casters that don't need Reinhold.
Yes, that's true.
He's like, I don't care. The gobbler can't keep up with me. I teleport. And then Kane's like, thank God.
So scary, Sloan.
His feat is dead on arrival.
Very, very unusual feat. I don't know how to judge this feat at all.
No, it's when I saw this feat initially, I was like, that's the weirdest feat I've ever seen.
Let me tell you how to judge his feat, because it's amazing.
It's really, really good.
Enemy non-warlike, non-warcaster models in Sturgis control area are pushed 3 inches directly towards Sturgis into covering fires. In the order you choose.
That's actually on the feet.
Then enemy models that get pushed into covering fires suffer POW 12 damage.
Slash mage. It says slash mage storms, right?
Yeah,
covering fires, slash mage storms. Okay,
it's right there.
slash lightning storms.
Also, enemy models that end that push within 3 inches of Sturgis suffer POW 12 magical damage rolls, and models destroyed by dead on arrival by that POW 12. For each model destroyed by dead on arrival, you can allocate one focus point to a warjack in his battle group in his control area.
That will not, as it's worded, will not count models destroyed pushed into covering fire.
No, because they are not destroyed by dead on arrival. They are destroyed
by that
covering
effect.
Fire.
Okay.
Only the ones that are pushed within within 3 inches.
Three inches of Sturgis. Correct. Yep. Yeah, okay.
So he's a Bile-Thrall Purge.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, he's an 80
bitty. Well, a half Bile-Thrall Purge.
No.
Because
he drags everything
first.
Within...
Okay.
All right. It is six, I suppose. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So he's got his feat is Bile-Thrall Purge plus pull things into covering fires and mage storms and murder them.
Also, extend threat ranges on all of your stuff by 3 inches.
Right.
Extend the Hammer Dwarf threat range by 3 inches.
Or even guns.
Or storm blades or.
Or any model that you could take in his list.
Also, just generally group things together, right?
Yes, and push things together, which is also relevant in the storm blade. If you want to take Storm.
So you
want
to make the worst list ever, that's funny. Is you take him and Stormwall or Cyclones or whatever that has Covering Fire and the Thunderhead. And you just basically, at the beginning of the game, say everything in their army suffers an automatic POW 12. And then whatever's left standing, you can just be like, we'll play the game now.
That doesn't seem terrible. Other than the fact that you have a Cyclone in your list.
Right. Because I said, or Stormwall.
Well, that's why you can play Black 13.
Sturgis double Stormwall. Just take the Haley double Stormwall list and replace it with this guy.
Because he has snipe, I might, this time only, take the unit attachment for the long gunners. Because then they can also put down a 5-inch AoE.
Oh, God, sure.
Yeah.
That's not terrible.
That's a thing.
They have, like, suppressing fire.
Oh, yeah.
They do have a suppression fire, yeah.
Oh,
snipe is really good on them.
But most of the time, I think you're just going to keep snipe on Stormwall so he can place his covering fires further out, I think.
Well, you could swap through.
I want to say I like this guy relevant.
Do you get the full get the full 5 inches with a min unit of long gunners with the unit attachment?
Probably, but why on earth would you take a min unit long gunners?
You wouldn't.
Less points.
There's a reason.
You certainly wouldn't take a min unit of long gunners and then put a UA on them.
No. Okay, so his additional abilities. He has a relentless charge, which is nice. He's got reversal, which is funny.
It's like he's def 16 base. Like it will happen that your heavy will charge him and miss.
It's like, oh, you have to charge me? Well, there's just a 20%er that it doesn't go your way.
Yep.
Whoop.
It's over. It's over. Yeah. That's it. Done.
That will be hilarious when it happens.
You should try that against the Avatar.
And he has an ability called Snap Strike.
Def 11 Warjacks.
You mean Mad 11?
Yep, that's what I meant.
almost got it. I almost got it.
He has an ability called...
Wah, wah, wah.
Drink more Summer Shandy.
Drink more Summer Shandy.
He has an ability called Snap Strike, which is he can make one additional attack with each of his melee weapons for each focus point spent to make additional attacks. I did a little research. The reason that it's worded differently from the double strike is that that says can make two additional attacks when they spend a focus point to make an attack with this weapon.
Yeah.
So his forces him to make an attack with each of the weapons, because every other model in the game that has double strike has two identical weapons.
This one has different effects.
The reason they did
hit.
That is so you can't feed back a caster to death.
Right. Each side has a different effect.
That's exactly what he's saying.
He can make what?
God, his weapons are really freaking good.
10 total attacks feedback, and still teleport away?
Feedback on the left blade and electro leap on the right blade.
More.
More than that, because of Squire.
He can make two.
Oh, yeah. No, with Squire, yeah, you're
can
right.
Make 14 attacks.
You're right.
And then teleport. No.
12 attacks and teleport.
I think Squire is required with him.
Squire is absolutely required with him. It's the number one reason he's better in Signar than in Krix, because
increase
his control
the threat
area
range on
is
that.
Larger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. His left blade has reach and feedback. His right blade has reach and electro leap. Those are both excellent rules.
He's speed 6.
He is indeed speed 6.
Wish he was speed 7.
Chain attack.
And he has chain attack flash dance, which is if the model hit the chain attack rules, after resolving the attacks, you can immediately place this model anywhere completely within 3 inches of its current location.
Does this make him a better assassination caster, or is this more a rule you see as being I end up 9 inches away after teleport, as opposed to...
I think it gives him flexibility.
Yeah.
So
you could also use it to just kill a boatload of their infantry.
No, for sure. Yeah.
Teleport away.
I think the best use for it is charge deep, come back a bit, but still be within enemy models, and then teleport.
And then teleport further back.
I mean, the real threat on caster assassination with him, for me, was just like, God, he's got to just, like, every turn put, like, 8 feed bolts into your caster, feedbacks into your caster.
Sure.
Well, he also can do things like charge 9. It's got 11 inches of threat. His feet makes it 14.
You can't pull casters.
You cannot pull casters. That's a relevant part of his feet.
Oh, does that say that?
It specifically does not pull casters.
For no really discernible reason, it does not pull casters.
He's not.
I can't imagine why.
He's not that good of a Jedi.
There are certain people that cannot be mind tricked.
But so, yeah, his personal melee threat is quite good.
His Metachlorian count isn't high enough.
No, exactly.
I did not appreciate it.
Well played, Chad. Well played.
Lance, if you could just change most of what Crump says into farting noises, it would be...
That would be amazing.
It would be 100%.
It'd definitely be
a normal podcast.
Okay, so let's talk about what you would play or what... And I'll talk about what I would play with Commander Donnan Sturgis. He's definitely getting a Stormwall. Like, that's because of the covering fire thing.
Just because of covering fire?
And Snipe. Yeah. Snipe is really good on it,
Yeah, that
too.
Sounds really...
Snipe's good on it, but...
Also, Arcane Shield's pretty good on it here.
Yeah,
so
he's
like,
also
sure,
an AS
caster.
Sure,
these are all... But, like, that's, like, what every Signar caster does for Arcane... Or for the Stormwall, so...
He's only one of 3 casters with Snipe now.
Yeah.
I would probably take...
Well, you can have Arcane Shield or Snipe. Which
yeah,
one
but
want?
I mean, he has options depending on what's going on.
I would probably take Jakes, right? That, like, needs to happen.
Jakes, run the Stormwall with Jakes. Is that what you're suggesting?
No, it's just he's the mentor, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I actually don't think he synergies particularly well with him.
Yeah, I know.
Agreed.
Although, actually, having the Energizing Thunderhead is not terrible in his list.
I was thinking Thunderhead is really good with his feet, right?
Yes, Thunderhead and the Covering Fires. The Thunderhead was my initial thought, because I didn't think about the pulling into Covering Fires that I spotted on forums and chats. People are like, oh, you can just pull stuff into Covering Fires. I'm like, oh, well, I'm doing that.
What else? What else? Covering Fires besides the Stormwall, though? There's one. Is it just the Cyclone? Is that the only one?
Freaking
the Cyclone?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know. The Cyclone is the only other Covering Fire besides
and the
Long Gunners.
But with
yeah.
Snipe. It's terrible plus 4 inches.
Yes, indeed.
And it's terrible plus there. 4 inches is actually reasonable. That's my my general understanding about this game is terrible plus 4 inches is reasonable.
I'm going to make a statement, and it's maybe not true, but it's mostly true, and that is if you're thinking about taking Cyclone, you might as well just take this normal.
What's the cost on the Cyclone?
10 points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, and Cyclones the Stormwall is 18.
They might be 9.
No, they're 19. Nine. They're 9, yeah. They're
so
nine.
We're talking about that's a 10 point. That 10 points is a significant chunk of your list.
Yeah, you get two Defender cannons for your 10 points. And you get a much beefier chassis.
And
you get
a
way
second
more hitbox.
Cyclone.
You get a POW 20 melee attack.
I 100% don't.
You get Storm Pods.
If
I'm
our,
not even done yet.
If our discussion is. Is a Stormwall better than a Cyclone? Is a Stormwall 10 points better than a Cyclone? There's no argument there.
That's why Brad's proxy Stormwall was two Defenders duct taped to a Cyclone, duct taped to a Stormclad.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
I mean, you know
that
me.
Is literally.
Yeah. I'm very reluctant to say anything like that.
No, I know you are,
but I'm actually willing to say this because
the Cyclone is a heavy, and you pay the points for a heavy. And it cannot do the work of a heavy.
I get that in Signar,
that is unconscionable.
I 100% get that. I just am really reluctant to be like, Sturgis has to have a Stormwall.
He doesn't have to have a Stormwall.
But don't, under any circumstances,
take a Cyclone instead of a Stormwall. Fair enough.
I mean, there's a lot of other things you could do. You could run him very Jack Light. You could run him very Infinity.
Right,
heavy.
Absolutely.
Fine,
absolutely.
Yes.
He needs.
That's why I like him.
Yeah.
What he lacks on his card, which is not uncommon at all for Signar casters, is a way to deal with armor. So you have to build into your list. I would put Hammer Dwarves in there because he has the built-in threat range increaser for them. That means that you're putting something in there that can give them Pathfinder. So he's going to take a Rupert, or you're going to have to put what's his name on them so you can
potentially double him up with Lidnessa as well.
I like Ayana and Holt with him, too.
Yeah, of course.
Or Ragman.
Any of the good mercs. I mean, he has nothing faction-specific in there, so go nuts. I mean, he's either going after the enemy or his spells are friendly. So
I see him kind of as a melee version of Epic Kane in that you can get a lot of work out of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be the key, is getting enough work done from Dalin.
How does he differentiate himself from the strikers? Because that's the big question.
Striker
right?
can't do any work in melee.
Yeah,
Striker has to do all of his work through
Prime Striker.
How does he differentiate himself from E-Striker?
This guy kills infantry a lot better than Epic Striker does.
Yeah.
And then can also, like, the thing, the main differentiating thing between this guy and Striker is he has teleport, so he can go in, kill a bunch of stuff, and then be completely safe.
It's less expensive than Velocity and whatever, right?
And 2 inches more.
And you get further away and can go behind things.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Sure.
Also, Striker has the problem, Epic Striker has the problem of when he's really going to get work done, he's kind of a one-shot missile.
Yeah.
Because he goes out there and he loses a bunch of health to do it and usually spends quite a bit of focus to do it, and then you're like,
better win the game.
Hope that won it for me. And there's no, you don't have to commit with Dalin. It's a much more, Kane is the much better analogy.
Sure.
When you're talking about how he functions.
Would you prefer to stab people or shoot them?
He's basically melee Kane.
He is. Yeah. I think with Dalin, I probably would play Runewood with him 100% of the time because just plus 2 to hit for melee attacks is
for his first
attack. Only the charge attack. It's not Warcry. Yeah.
It's only for the first attack.
Yeah, oh man, it's just for the charge attack. Yes.
Rules.
Yeah. Signar needs a fell call.
No.
Mad 11 troops.
But yeah, and I don't hate Stormblades with him. I don't hate Trenchers with him. Snipe is good on Trenchers.
Smoke wall is pretty good. He really wants smoke.
There would be guaranteed be Trenchers or Tactical Arcanist Corps in my list with him.
Tech might be too slow for him.
No, not really. I mean, if you think about where they'll be, you run him on turn one. Because, I mean, he's not worried about getting shot on the first turn.
No, it limits his lateral movement from side to side.
It limits lateral movement. That's actually
something I want to talk to you about eventually. Tactical Arcanist Corps running on turn one. Like, I frequently have opponents target them on turn one when they run, and they don't have clouds, and they're easier to kill. And then they end up being irrelevant in the game because they get killed early on turn one. Well, I do, but that's a different discussion, I guess, actually. Sorry. Yeah. That's.
I think you can. You don't necessarily have to run them full out.
There are no hard and fast rules in War Machine.
There aren't. That's true.
If they're going to get killed, if you run them, don't run them.
Baloney.
I'm just saying, like, if you're like, oh, man, there's Widowmakers over there. Well, Keith said run them, so I'm going to run them just so the Widowmakers like, that's not at all what he advocates.
I have it on good authority that you should always burrow on turn one.
Widowmakers aren't good against those guys.
No, they're amazing against those guys. They're better than good against them.
Yeah, they're dice off six. They're five boxes. They're actually not that great.
Yeah, I suppose.
Anyway.
They're better than good. They're terrible.
So some interesting options there. Of course, I mean, you can always put Boomhauer in because it's Boomhauer, but I don't think he does enough to make Boomhauer really worth it. I would actually be interested in playing Steelheads with him because they have a decent threat range to go already, and extending that is always pretty nice.
And they're pretty good on the charge.
And they're quite good on the charge. The list I was looking at was Steelheads followed by Hammer Dwarves with the Thunderhead in play, and then the Black 13th.
They don't really combo with Thunderhead at all.
No, Thunderhead's not in there. Stormwall, I meant.
Okay, I was like, wow, why?
No, they combo horrifically badly with Stormwall. Yeah. Never put Steelheads and Stormwall on those things.
Steelheads and Thunderhead.
Super bad. Yes, you can play Hammer Dwarves and Thunderhead. That's fine. Because you can Arcane Shield them, and they will live through it most often.
Yeah.
Almost all the time.
I was just like, what is Keith talking about?
No. That is not what I meant.
Mixing up Stormwall and Thunderhead.
Yeah, I did it again, too.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, so I...
What was on first and who was on second? Right. The world was upside down.
Nice reference.
But yeah, I think the Stormwall and the Black 13th increase the efficacy of the feat to such a degree that I would have a hard time leaving them at home.
And they're also good by themselves. So they synergize with them, and then just being Stormwall and Black 13th is also just fine. Mm-hmm. So,
and it is tempting to bring in Jakes to run the Stormwall just because I do feel like I want to play him a couple times to find out how much of his focus he's using himself or if he can power the Stormwall himself. I could see it going either way.
Holy.
I think as only a six focus caster with the ability to buy two attacks per focus, it feels like he wants to keep it on
before
himself.
I put Jakes in that list, I would put a regular junior in that list, I think.
Why is that?
Because I think
you can, but if I'm going to run the Stormwall, I'm going to put Jakes... I mean, if you're going to invest 19 points in a Stormwall that's on a junior warcaster, I'm going to use junior because, number one, he has Arcane Shield.
So
and number two, he's going to sit way in the back anyway and be a coward all game long, especially when he has 19 points attached to him. Like, you're not going to get any benefit for having Jakes other than, I mean, I'd rather have +3 armor available to me than +2 defense on
that's
that.
That's fair, but it's extra focus for the wall.
What's Stormwall? Yeah, you're talking about a 3-focus caster versus... Or a 4-focus caster versus 3-focus caster, right?
Yep. So you lose 1 focus, you gain Arcane Shield.
It's a fact, but he can put Arcane Shield on the Stormwall.
He can.
But you're going to want it for the Hammer Dwarves for most of the game.
Or for himself.
True.
Actually, I was definitely putting a regular junior in the list, and I just had him running the Stormwall because I was putting Arcane Shield... to start with on both units of Steelheads, which is actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
They go up to arm 16 on the approach, which is blast damage protection, which is mostly what you want it for.
It also makes Pow-10s only kill you half the time.
Yep.
Which is good.
So, yeah, I think... And there's definitely lots of other ways to explore his build, but Merc Heavy is what I... You know, it's what I trust.
Surprise!
It definitely looks...
Why don't you try playing Signar for once?
Oh, I also like the idea of having Epic Alexia with him.
Well played.
Because she pulls stuff in, he pulls stuff in, so it's very easy for her to load up with on corpses. And he's going to be playing that kind of dangerously forward game, so I would actually use her probably most of the time to just sling Hellfires and stay close to him in the Tactical Arcanist core to protect them from spells. Just act like a little P. Haley attachment.
Yeah, that's good.
Would you put Arcane Shield on her?
Later in the game, probably.
That seems annoying as...
Yeah, it would go from Steelheads to Hammer Dwarves.
Jesus,
Alexia.
She's armed 22 under Arcane Shield with 3 souls. That's
and probably concealed.
15, 20, or 17, 22, and 10 boxes.
Legit. Or if
it's
just
absurd.
Or I can just
that's
keep
hard.
Her behind
that's
the
hard.
And go Arcane Shield on the Tactical Arcanist Core and the Hammer Dwarves. No, I like that list. I think there's some potential there.
I think there's a lot of fun. I feel like Keith, in both incarnations, both the Crix and the Signar incarnation, feels like a Mark II caster in that he's got a dynamic playstyle, has a lot of things that he can do, mm-hmm. and is not overpowered.
I actually think he breaks into the top third for Signar casters.
Yeah.
He's super interesting.
That's actually pretty hard to do.
Yeah.
A lot of Signar casters are really good.
Yeah, absolutely.
The games.
I mean, he brings...
The Haleys.
He brings almost as much... I think his feet brings almost as much ability to just wipe their infantry off the board as Pekane's does.
That's
just in a different way.
Exceptional, if that's true.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, also, all the additional benefits that it provides with additional threat ranges and putting things out of position.
Because, I mean, he can kill a decent clump of infantry that is 15 inches away from him with the direct damage of the feet.
Do you see Corbeau being a thing with him to give him a different placement to pull things into particular areas in scenario play or whatnot? Like 3 inches of additional movement and then drag you in particular areas might be a thing?
Not really. I mean, no. Corbeau is always...
I mean, Corbeau is good with him.
It's hard to... I find it difficult to get her to go off a lot of the time.
I like thinking about things like... Saren players jamming you up with beasts, and then you're just dragging the beast out of her control radius.
Here's some tech I learned from Steven.
Being always like, jamming you up. If always you, jamming you up.
If you put Corbeau next to your arcane shielded hammer dwarves, her suckering to them is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
I mean, it's pretty strong.
Agreed.
So, then we get to Sturgis the Corrupted.
Spoiler alerts, he dies.
Holy crap, he's undead.
Lightning storm turns into blood rain. That's a downgrade.
Yep.
Convection remains convection.
Downgrade.
Can I just say the way that they
it is worse than Craig's.
The way it's they actually did his spell list, I think between the two is I don't know. I appreciate it. I really think it's clever. I liked it a lot.
Hated this. I got.
Did you dislike
this? I got so ticked at
this. I'm really unsurprised that Crump hated this, but I like this quite a bit.
I hate you.
Snipe turns into occultation.
Because, of course.
Arcane shield turns into parasite.
Because, of course.
And teleport remains teleport.
Because, of course. Yeah.
Actually, that is pretty clever.
Think it's excellent.
It's like opposite day.
Yeah. See, okay, you guys,
it's
are
bizarro,
you guys are clearly...
Bizarro Sturgis.
You guys are clearly more
drop
optimistic.
The mic, watch off, walk off stage.
Optimistic
done.
About
boom.
This
boom.
Time. He kept the same feet bizarro. And then like still has the same attacks and everything. And I was talking about this with Charles Foster. And I was just like, wait. They made a caster and made him go epic in the same gavel motion. This seems really lazy. To which Charles replied with, like, what? Like, what's wrong with that? And I'm like, well, he even kept, like, 50% rules overlap. That's so lazy.
That's
Charles
not lazy,
like,
because it's...
Well, he just died, Crump.
Yeah.
So, of course, he's going to keep 50% of his rules.
Yeah.
And I replied with, using fluff to justify rules... Or to justify laziness.
It's actually not that lazy, because it is a completely different animal.
He's in a different faction.
Yeah, in a different faction.
His rules, like...
Wait,
if
he was an epic Signar caster with those rules, you'd be like, table flip. What the hell?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I win.
Yep.
But if he was... But he's in a completely different faction, so it's totally acceptable. I mean, his feet is the exact same.
Yes.
Which is, I think... Weird and genius.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's super weird, right? Because like they've never duplicated a feat. This is the only time that a feat's been actually duplicated, right?
No, I mean like
literally duplicated,
right? Yeah.
No, from you know, a 1 to a 2 version, definitely never been done.
Sure.
So.
Yeah.
No. But even I mean, there's no other feat that's identical. Completely identical to a previous feat.
So you know what's funny?
There's none.
There's
right?
lots that are inspired.
That are very similar.
Like
very similar.
Uh-huh. There's Horde's versions that are worse than
no
Washington
feat.
Yeah, yeah,
ever
absolutely.
Been copy and pasted before.
I refer you to Old Witch and Harbinger.
Killbox. Killbox is a terrible version of whatever Edenny's feat is called. But
half
yeah,
of the feats in the game are terrible versions of Epic Denegra's feat.
Yeah, agreed. But there is no feat that is an identical version, right?
So
wait.
The feat remains the same. His weapon loadout on their white numbers. For the WoW players out there, remain the same. His defense and armor have switched. He's now 15-16. Mat 7, Rat 5 remains the same. His chain attack is now no longer Flashdance. It's Dark Shroud. He still retains Relentless, Charge, Reversal, and Snap Strike. But now his weapons have Soul Eater, which is that particular edge can get souls for him. And Death Strike, which is the same ability that the Blood Witches have.
Yeah, I mean, Death Strike's really similar to Electro Leap.
It's but much worse.
Yeah.
Crix couldn't spare a soul cage for that guy.
Well, here's the thing, is that I've heard several people be like, oh, he's like the worst soul-collecting caster in Crix. But, like,
I don't know. It depends on the way he ends up being played. If he ends up being played like I charge up and kill stuff and like,
he's
going to
collect more souls.
He'll collect more souls than any of the others do.
Ross,
ever.
Venithrax.
Venithrax.
Idiots.
And Terminus.
Well, okay, whatever. But
Venithrax and Terminus both own his lunch. But
Epic Asphyxius. But he will collect more souls than like
the Denny's.
Many of the casters with soul cages because he will actually be hitting things with his sticks.
Prime Asphyxius can capture more souls than him too, but.
That's rough.
Well, this is the big comparison here, right? Because this is the, as you guys have said, what does he do that Prime Asphyxius doesn't do?
Right. That is the thing.
How we were talking about how him version 1.0 is like a Biothal purge. You can purge with him and then have your Biothals purge.
That's right.
Like pulling their whole army 3 inches closer to your Biothal seems can. And clumping them up.
Yeah. Here's what he does that Prime Asphyxius doesn't do. He occultates himself.
Mm-hmm.
And is a small base.
Right.
So you can hide behind Crick's army.
Yep.
Also, occultated Satixis Raiders sound pretty terrible.
Yeah, occultation is an excellent spelling.
Occultation without having to play Gorshade or Witch Coven, right?
Occultation is a lovely spell. That's quite good. The feat has some interesting applications. You can probably get more work out of it than P. Asphyxius's feat. Probably. Sometimes.
Well,
sometimes his feat is just the swift kick in the nuts.
It is a flat plus 3 inches to your threat ranges, and then if you add Daregraith,
yeah,
pretty good.
Which works on the undead troops.
Do you think his feat makes Biothralls particularly disgusting?
I know you take him with him,
but do you think that they're disgusting with him, or is it just...
No, they're just good.
It's not Excarnate.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they get a, 15-inch threat? With his feet and Daregraith?
Not quite too much.
It's not Excarnate, but it is for the whole unit as opposed to like a single model.
15 inches
right?
still?
Yeah, the other thing that...
Daregraith, plus 1 inch move, plus 3 inches.
We're actually doing really bad math. It's not 3 inches.
They're speed 5, right?
It's probably on average like 2.5-ish, depending.
The other interesting thing is I think the feat is better because of the clumping up effect that will happen to Biothralls. Will get more done that way. So it'll bring in models from the sides. Whereas normally a Biothrall purge, when you measure their additional threat, it's only on the peak of the purge. This is also adding threat to all sides of the purge, kind of equally. I'd have to look at the geometry of it to see if it works out better or worse. I think it depends on where the Biothrall is in relation to Sturgis, for the most part. If it's like right behind him, it's strictly better for the Biothrall, I have to believe. Because it's pulling them all directly towards the Biothrall at that point.
Sure.
So, yes, he's going to get some more work done out of the Biothralls. Occultation is good on most any...
Biothralls
in Crix that's not already stealthy. Having the ability to put it on himself is huge in certain matchups. His weapons do not do nearly the work they do in Signar, but I think if there's enough models around, the ability to do Soul Eater could be highly beneficial.
I actually like his Chain Attack Dark Shroud too. A lot of people complained about that. But
yep. So he has...
I was going to say, you can send him in on a heavy because he gets 2 attacks for every focus. So, like, you hit your first 2 attacks, Dark Shrouded up, so now he's power 15, right?
Yep.
And if
18 if you parasite something.
If you parasite. But then after you parasite, then it's like every attack you buy is 2 attacks. So it's like 2 power 18s, 2 power 18s.
Right.
Yeah, I probably play Deathjack with him and have Deathjack be my intended occultation target, depending on the matchup. And then, because then Deathjack is really good for putting Parasite on things ahead of time or casting Blood Rain in convenient locations. Maybe not.
Oh, you can cast Blood Rain for the feet.
Deathjack can also chain convections, which is kind of funny. Deathjack can basically have one cost convection.
Yeah, that's true. I hadn't thought about that.
That's pretty good.
He's only focused 6.
6, though.
God, if he was a 7, that would be amazing. Deathjack has been like, convect, 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 convect.
I'm surprised he didn't become a 7 when he went epic. Just because.
Yeah, I mean, you go to Crix, you usually get some magic boost in there.
Yeah, you would think he just got way better.
2 attacks per focus sort of prohibits.
I'm actually surprised that you actually think the Electroleap is, like, that significant a bonus over the Darkshroud Chain Attack.
No, not the dark. Electroleap is much, much better than
no. It's
Electroleap versus Deathstrike.
Sure, absolutely. But you made a statement that
the
his
Flash is better.
Is what allows him to do
is the Flash
more.
Is better.
It's a 3-inch place, so
sure.
You go kill like a couple guys and place within 3 inches, and then kill some more, and then teleport out of there.
So you're thinking of him even in Cricks as killing a bunch of heavy, or a bunch of infantry as opposed to specifically just annihilating.
I think
heavy.
You need to get work out of him, otherwise
he's a POW. Like when he chain attacks POW 18 and 8 attacks at POW 18 and still flashes away.
I think this
on
guy
a heavy. That's
if somebody else cast Parasite,
he might break.
True, or if he'd cast it on the turn previous. But yeah, I understand the usual casting of Parasite is I cast Parasite and then that thing dies. I get that. But
right,
is this the first caster in Crix to get a hand cannon?
No,
Epic Scar
has one.
Yep.
But no, I mean, he can, the other thing we're talking about where the comparison to Primus Vixius comes in is that Primus Vixius, of course, has the, it's parasited. I'm scything touched. I charge it. It's dead. I teleport away with my feet. Usually he can kill pretty much anything in the game and zip away. Cause he can make up to 14 attacks against something.
POW 20 attacks.
POW 20.
How does he get to 14? I don't remember.
His feet refills his focus.
Yep.
Oh, right. Right. Absolutely.
So he can,
sure.
So Sturgis can do in much the same way that. Oh, I had a comparison for this, and I've lost it. In much the same way as Asphyxius 3 is sort of like a watered-down version of the Dark Guidance plus Scar's feat every turn, Sturgis is kind of a watered-down version of what P. Asphyxius does in Melee, but he does it every turn.
You don't think that Occultation plus the positioning on his feet is enough to make enough difference to make him.
That's where the something a little bit different comes in, because I mean, Asphyxius 3 has Hexblast, and he is more personally survivable, and there's little things that make them different enough. I mean, we're talking about distinct casters at this point. There's not a this is directly better than this, but these
sure.
casters are certainly comparable.
I mean, I definitely
it's
think it's the
Epic Kane versus Kara Sloan argument that we've been making, where it's like Epic Kane brings this amazing one turn damage potential, but after he's blown his wad is blown then for the rest of the game. Whereas Kara Sloan gets to do basically that every turn of the game, but it's not quite as good.
Right. Sure.
So that's the down. I mean, then they make trade-offs for that.
Like,
you know,
Kara still has Deadeye. Kane is dangerous to infantry all the time, and so there's this interesting balancing factor.
Sure. That's the way that this guy is. Like Epic or regular Asphyxius can threaten any single model on the table. I don't care what it is. He can threaten it on his feet.
But on other turns, you might not want
to risk your caster going in there just to make two or three attacks.
Right.
Whereas this guy can always make 10 or more attacks.
So that's my question.
I think it's interesting that he's mat 7.
Yeah.
That's his biggest limiting factor.
What, you think he should be a mat 8?
I'm not sure. He might break at mat 8 with the volume of attacks. But
I think mat 7's fine.
It's okay.
At mat 8, he's guaranteed to kill your caster, right?
No.
I think the best part about this guy is Occultation.
Yeah, I mean, that's the something a little bit different than mat Primus Vixius. Otherwise, pretty much the whole down the line, you're like, that's not as good.
So good in Crix.
Yeah, it's quite good. I mean, it exists on 3 casters already.
Yeah, I know, but one of those is like Epic Gorshade?
Epic Gorshade and Witch Coven. And now
Coven,
and now
right?
Him.
Yeah, and all those casters
are
good.
Very good.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with Coven or Epic Gorshade.
Yeah, well, I mean,
this caster
there's a reason you
things.
Never see them played.
I do see them played.
What's the reason you never see them played?
What do you think it is?
I actually have seen both the Coven and Epic Gorshade played. So.
Coven aren't played because they haven't really been explored fully yet, and they're extremely high skill cap, and they don't do any. They're horrifically bad in the late game. And Epic Gorshade gets played plenty.
Yeah
I've seen Epic Gorshade
played. I haven't seen that guy like played at all except by like Dave.
He's on the most recent lock and load post that Matty K posted from the hardcore.
If you don't see him played, you haven't been looking, son.
Exactly.
Boom.
I'm just blinded by Epic Liches, I guess.
I mean, yeah, they're everywhere. But so, yeah, I'm interested to see him in Crix. He doesn't immediately strike me as breaking into the top third or possibly even the top half of Crix.
And that's
monsters.
That's the discussion that we'd had before that, like, and that's why I was talking about the P. Asphyxius comparison because you guys have pointed out, you're like, oh, he doesn't really do anything the P. Asphyxius doesn't already do and do better. And, like, I certainly get that, but there are like, occultation and his feet are some significant differences. And so the question is, are they significantly different enough to make it, like, is there maybe a list that potentially exists to make it worth, like, him pushing past the regular P.S. Fixius list?
Possibly.
Well, I mean, P.S. Fixius isn't in the top third either.
That's right. They've been saying he's, like, you know, number seven after the Scars.
I mean, he's up there, but
it's Scar, Denny, Elitch, Peelitch maybe is number six.
Yeah, that's not top third. There's not 18 Crix casters, so.
Right.
Fair enough.
That's all I was saying. So,
sure. Fair enough.
So even if Sturgis was a little bit better than P.S. Fixius,
he wouldn't
still
be.
He's still probably seventh.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Sure.
Do we now that's know all of the casters that are coming out in Vengeance?
We don't know, because I actually saw several posts that said that these Sturgises would not be in Vengeance, would not be in the book Vengeance.
Here's my question. If they're not in a book, that means Crix and Signar will have more casters.
It will
than
just
all
be
a
plus
other.
One caster.
Correct. Yeah.
Main factions?
Yep.
Correct.
That's bizarre.
It's bizarre.
Jason Souls and Matt Wilson's favorite factions.
I feel like, no.
This is not hard to figure out. Nailed it.
What might happen, nailed right, it. Is like...
They may do a Kador Protector.
Yeah, Kador Protector, because like Krios, for example, was from Kador. He's a Kadoran.
And then
so
we can leave Rhett out.
Rhett, because no one's going to leave Rhett.
Rhett, mercenary, our... crossover.
Oh, no, Gorshade will come back to Rhett. Somehow
and
they'll
Rhett
let him out.
Grumble. But no. Also, like, Vlad is faithful. Like, there are plenty of faithful in Kador, so that's not that's not an impossible transition.
Yeah, they could
to
just.
Make.
There's
that's
also
what I think they would do.
There's also the possibility that the posts have been wrong and that these two are in, and there's actually just two casters per faction.
I would not mind at all getting Signs of Importance and protecting.
We would
metal.
No. We're
you
not having
have it.
What's that?
You may
no,
not have it.
Not at all.
I can get it in Retribution.
You know what?
The
reality is that no one can have Signs of Importance. Kador shouldn't even have Signs of Importance.
Well, the fact that Kador does have Signs of Importance leaves them
that
a
spell.
Lot of
that spell should just not exist.
But I forgot what I was going to say. Thanks.
Sorry.
You're welcome.
Boosh. I apologize. That's my
something
fault.
To do with crossovers.
Probably
hot.
Okay.
Hot sweet.
Oh my god! End the podcast. We're in.
I wonder if they'll. That's a good question. I wonder if they will do a crossover. That would be sweet.
That's just the whole time we were talking about this, I was thinking, like, well, there's Kadorans who are Menites, and then that seems pretty easy to do.
This just feels like the most obvious crossover and the one where they're like, okay, we did it.
So things that you may play with Sturgis that I wouldn't normally recommend, Blood Gorgers.
And what's the reason for that?
They are accurate. And he can do the one thing for... He can do the two things for them that are requisite to make them reasonable.
Increase their threat
clump
range.
Things.
Three things. He can increase their threat range. He can deliver them with occultation. And he can increase their hitting power up to the level that gets rid of heavies.
With his Chantech Darkstrike? Oh, with Parasite. Okay,
don't
sure,
they have
yeah.
Overtake?
They do, with
so
Gerlach.
His feet's really good for that, too, then.
His feet's good for them. His feet's good for Gerlach, sort of, kind of, because, I mean, Gerlach still has to hit stuff. So bring the Wither Shadow Combine, too, because you're increasing threat ranges. So let's say Blood Gorgers, Gerlach, Wither Shadow Combine. Throw Malice in there, sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, might as well make the Jack Factory.
Yeah, let's put the Jack Factory with him. Blood Witches, because you always bring Blood Witches. They're also very accurate. You want to bring accurate things with him, because we're basically building P.S. Fixius's list with the caveat of things are going to be clumped up, and you
plus
can occultate something. Right. Biothralls, and then maybe the Deathjack and an Arcanode, possibly?
Convection Deathjack.
You
start
really
sitting over there. Magic Missile. Magic Missile.
You don't care about an Arcanode, right? Like, I don't think you even want an Arcanode with him.
Parasite.
Maybe.
You can just bring a Ripjaw, which is a serviceable melee threat anyway.
And
you know Scarlock for trying to throw out random parasites.
Possibly, yes. So Scarlock also to shift. It can shift parasite around. It can cast actually every single one of his spells, with the exception of teleport. I don't think I would bring Darragrath with him, because the list that I just constructed has almost no undead models in it.
Yep, I noticed that. Because I might actually play Bane Knights with it, or.
Knights are also an exceptional occultation target, for sure.
Really, really good.
Yes.
Just the Bane boat.
Yes. Oh, God. Stealthy Bane Knights.
Yeah, can't you just bring, like, Bane Thralls, Bane Knights, Tartarus? Yeah. That's what, right
that's,
there.
That's also a good list.
That's how many points? That's all stealth?
That's 25.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's, like, what Igor Shade usually.
And you throw in the Wither Shadow Comm. I mean, you can build you can build the all stealth boat, which Retribution loves to see, especially when you're extending your threat ranges.
Yeah. Here's the most pressing question: how long until we see a Sturgis Iron Gauntlet player?
As soon as they come out,
will you be doing that?
I'll do it.
You're doing it?
Fantastic! Fantastic!
Are you
committing to it here on air?
Committed to it on air.
Awesome. I mean, once I've scored like 10 points already, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, there's no point.
You already have scored 10 points.
No,
but he won't be out by then. It'll be next time around.
He's saying, like, I've already qualified for War Machine Weekend, so I might as well take Sturgis to, like, every tournament I can.
It does seem like it'd be really fun.
It seems like the cool thing to do, really. Let's be honest.
Unlikely allies, Sturgis. Who's going to be the first?
Not legal.
Screw that noise. They're in different factions. It's fine.
Stacking their feet seems funny.
I mean, if you're going to do that, you might as well just go
at that point.
Might as well just go whole hog and do Fiora.
No, you could split
the... There was a tournament in Madison. They ran a tournament like that where it was bring the Prime and Epic versions of the same caster, but not Fiora, because come on.
That's awesome.
I hope that that was the official full name of the tournament.
Yeah, because Haley and Denegra are both really fair.
It's or Fiora and Fiora. Sorcia.
Do you know what Fiora and Fiora do?
Have no idea, Chad.
Okay. Let me tell you.
Let me tell you all about
it. Let me break it down for you.
You know that joke that I made earlier about your whole army taking a POW 12? Yeah.
Yeah, well,
that actually happened.
You also,
and a caster camping 14.
And I was going to say, and a caster focus. Being like just armed 50. Why not?
So, back to our old conventions, and we'll see how wrong we can be this time. Let's grade Sturgis and Sturgis. I would grade Signar Sturgis. I think he is a solid A-.
I'd say B+.
B+.
I think he's 5 out of 5 Steam games.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I regret my B+, and I give him 4 out of 7 Otter Pelts.
Otter Pelts. A controversial
rating. Two
thumbs
up. I don't
it is a controversial rating because otters are adorable.
I think he's going to be dynamic and fun and offer a lot of...
I want
there's a lot of ways to build his list.
Anyone who skins the otters to play Sturgis is a jerk.
I honestly just want to play him because he looks like a buttload of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks amazing.
He does look super fun.
The Crix one looks less fun. But that's because he lacks the 3-inch placement.
He's the same. He's the same caster.
Crix Sturgis
doesn't have.
He's middle of the road.
He doesn't have force dash.
I also think he's a B. He's just in Crix, so it doesn't look like a B.
Well, we have to grade him in the faction, so C.
No, I think he's a solid B caster. If you compare him to other casters in the game, he's good.
Okay,
wait. 5 Otter Pelts.
Is there a Crix caster that you would give an F besides Venithrax?
Gorshade 1, maybe.
Yeah, so, like, he's probably a C then, right? Because he's, like, middle of the road. He's not a
I don't grade on a
Venithrax,
curve. Sorry.
You showed him War Machine.
Gold stars for everybody.
Sturgis gets 2 gold stars.
You're an Asian. Anyone who doesn't get an A is a fail.
Grade him on the Harry Potter scale and give him an E for exceeds expectations.
A or F? A or F?
And on that note,
I
want
to create a new meme, the disappointed Asian father.
Disappointed Asian
meme.
Father, but with John's face. That'd be great.
And we'll just put your daughter's quote about, like, I want to put this sticker in my car.
Yes. fantastic.
I'm not comfortable sharing that.
If you listen to the next podcast, I might have some things to say about John's daughter.
Whoa.
That's a.
Well, thank you for tuning in to episode 75. This has been Fat Asian.
Keith.
Josh.
For the last time ever, Josh.
and
Chad.
Oh, crap. But Crump. Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.